Let us pray. Lord, may the words I say, may the thoughts we think, and may the lives which come from them be pleasing and acceptable to you. Amen. Would you please be seated? I've been to the Holy Land a couple of times. The first time, when I was about 20, was quite a transformative experience. Although I was there to work, I also got plenty of time to travel around and meet some fascinating people. And one of the things that struck me, and one of the things that strikes many people who go to that part of the world, is how small it is. How close together all these places and great stories are. Israel, modern Israel, is roughly the same area as Wales, though much longer but thinner. At its thinnest point, you could probably just about walk across it in a day without too much effort. Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, way up in the hills of northern Galilee. From there, it's barely a stone's throw to where Cana is thought to be, where Jesus attended a wedding and changed water into wine. And then not too much of a walk from there to Capernaum on the shores of Lake Galilee. Capernaum was where Jesus lived for a while, where many of his friends lived. And the ruins of that village can be visited and seen today, including what's thought to be the house where Simon Peter may have lived. Today's gospel story starts from Capernaum. Jesus has delivered the Sermon on the Mount nearby, and then he climbed into a fishing boat with his friends, set off across the lake. This was where the storm blew up when Jesus was asleep in the boat. After the storm, they'd kept on to the other side, to the country of the Gerasenes, where Jesus had healed a madman who lived amongst the tombs there. But the villagers were terrified at such a show of power, and they begged Jesus and his friends to, well, make themselves scarce. So this little band had come back across the lake, only to find that fame had gone before them, and a great crowd was awaiting them back near Capernaum, including Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, whose little daughter was so ill. Jesus healed her, saw to the needs of the crowd, and then, since he was barely a step away from Nazareth, was minded to go home, as you might do if you're in the area. So he and his friends climbed the hills to Nazareth. And on the Sabbath day, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue there. He would have been welcome, a local boy, quite able to read the scriptures, clearly with some real faith and able to expound on them to some ability. He would have been welcomed and invited. But this day, things turn out a little different. There are two reactions to his teaching. Some people astonished by his wisdom, by his tremendous power, but others angry, jealous, resentful, that one of their own had the temerity to rise so far above them. Nazareth was just a small village of no note. Its people were hill people. They were probably all related somewhere or another, to be honest. They certainly knew each other very well. That synagogue would have been full of Jesus' cousins and second cousins and whatever. And rather than rejoicing in this one of their own, who was clearly rather special, some of them, we're told, took offence. Now, we all know, don't we? It doesn't take much for some people to take offence. There are those who take offence not because they're harmed in any way — that might be a perfectly good reason, I guess — but because simply they feel threatened. And some people feel threatened simply when other people, particularly those they have some kind of link with, have much better fortune than they do themselves. somebody does well in life. Good job, good salary. They want to continue just as they have before with the old circle of friends. But there's resentment. Somebody wins a nice pot of money on the lottery. Nothing will change. But others start to mutter, why should they take up one of our houses when they can afford to live anywhere? Why should they be allowed to work with us when they've got all that money and there's people who are unemployed? And the pressure is to move away. Some people feel threatened if someone chooses to move away and seek a better life. Those who are left behind can begin to feel inferior, even though they themselves could, with a little effort, follow a similar path. There have been families in the past where parents have been deeply upset if their children choose higher education. It's although that education and what it will bring and how it will change them is threatening to those who are left behind, leaving them feeling inferior to their offspring. It often seems to be true that people take offence not because of some injury that's been done to them, but because something within their own makeup causes them to interpret outside events and actions as threatening to themselves. And this does seem to be even more true with your own people. The one person who failed to rejoice when the prodigal son came home again was the prodigal's own brother. Rather than rejoicing, the elder brother took offence. He interpreted the event of his younger brother's homecoming as threatening to himself and showed a deep jealousy and resentment. And that's precisely what happened to Jesus in his own home village. Isn't this the carpenter's son? The son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? Said some. Who does he think he is? And they took offence at Jesus. The problem is, anger and resentment and jealousy cause disharmony within a person, cause dis-ease. They're underlying currents that act as blocks to God's love and healing power. So Jesus, even Jesus, found he was unable to perform many miracles in his home country amongst his own people. It's said in the Bible that a prophet is without honour in their own land. But it's also well known in medical circles that you shouldn't treat your own. You might be married to a doctor, but he or she wouldn't be your GP. Well, I'm told, golfers are well aware that it's tantamount to divorce to attempt to teach your partner, your spouse, to play golf. And take it from my experience, if you haven't discovered it for yourself, parents should not teach their children to drive. But it's interesting to note that Jesus was able to heal some. When the chips are down, when people are desperate, they'll turn to any offer of hope that there is, and they'll allow that hope to surmount their own prejudices, their own uneasiness about the situation. And Jesus was able to work with even a tiny amount of faith like that. Faith, we're told elsewhere, no bigger than a mustard seed. For the truth is, God will be at work wherever there are open minds and opened hearts. So the next time you hear great things about someone you know well, when the praise others heap on them makes you feel diminished and small, what will you do? Will you accept and rejoice in their greatness? Or will you say, who do they think they are? For in God's kingdom, things that we once regarded as normal are turned upon their heads. We have a revolutionary king. Let us learn how to be open to his words and to follow in the way he leads. Amen.